Good evening, one and all, and welcome to our midweek church service. Welcome to those listening on the phone and those listening to the recording and those here. Our opening song for tonight's service is entitled Draw Me Nearer. And the lyrics can be found on our website in the home church section under hymns. Music and then hymns, and the actual link is lightministries.com/IED824.htm. I am thine, O Lord, I have heard thy voice, and it told thy love to me. But I long to rise in the arms of faith and be closer drawn to thee. Draw me nearer, near, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, nearer, near, blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side. Consecrate me now to thy service, Lord, by the power of grace divine. Let my soul look up with a steadfast hope, and my will be lost in thine. Draw me nearer, near, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, nearer, near, blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side. Oh, the pure delight of a single hour that before thy throne I spend. When I kneel in prayer and with thee, my God, I commune as friend with friend. Draw me near, 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 blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, nearer, near, blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side. There are depths of love that I cannot know till I cross the narrow sea. There are heights of joy that I may not reach till I rest and dwell with thee. Draw me nearer, near, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, nearer, near, blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side. And dear ones, that's where we find cleansing, is through the precious spilt blood of our Savior to wash away all of our sins and our guilt, and to make us refreshed and new.
If we could all kneel and bow our hearts and our heads as far as possible. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy precious name. Lord Jesus, thank you for waking us up this morning. Thank you for bringing us safely through the week thus far, dear Father God, for guiding us and protecting us. Thank you for the lessons that we have learned thus far, whether it be good or bad, dear Father. I pray that you continue to help us to see the bigger picture in all things and to see your hands in all things and not to get easily wearied. Thank you for the word that we are about to partake of, dear Father God, your heavenly bread, your manna, dear Father God. Fill us up, dear Father God. Help us to keep our eyes and our hearts and our ears on heavenly things, dear Father, and to test these things and to taste them and see that they're good and manifest them and walk in them, dear Father, I pray. Please, Lord, I pray that you forgive us for our sins and our iniquities and our shortcomings. Anything that we have done in this body that is not of you, I pray, Lord, that you take everything that is not of you and give us your Holy Spirit. Give us the ability to discern. Give us the patience. Help us to increase our faith, love, forbearance, temperance, meekness, dear Father God, I pray, because these are all things that are of you. Thank you, Lord, for all that you have done. Bless each and every one of us that are here tonight, and for those that are not here with us, wherever they are, dear Father, I pray that you send your heavenly angels to encamp with them and let them know that they are deeply missed, and guide them and protect them in all thy ways and according to your perfect will. Thank you, Lord, for all that you have done. We love you more than words can say. In no other name than Jesus I pray. Amen.
Amen. And thank you, dear sister. We're in chapter 4 of Ephesians, and we're at verse 17. We left off last time with the understanding that every believer in Christ has a particular role to play in his great work. And their position in this work is likened to a particular part of the body of Christ. And we then understood that all the different parts of the body are joined together and united together in such a way that each part, no matter where it may be in the body, is in harmony and is of benefit to every other part in the body. And what allows everything to be linked together is joints, is ligaments, is tendons. And these can be likened to the love or the Christian respect that is paid to each other believer in Christ. Without this love, there would be no way that the different parts of the body could get along with each other. There'd be no way that there could be harmony or unity or a working relationship. And that's why we must first connect ourselves with Christ so that we can have His love within us and thus be able to manifest that Christ-like love for one another. So that's where we left off last time, and now we pick it up at verse 17 of chapter 4. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart. So, we're not to walk as the non-believers walk. In other words, we're not to act like they act. They're of a completely different mindset. They're of an unconverted heart. And so this means that if we're not to walk as they walk, if we're not to act as they act, then we can't be of an unconverted heart. If we are, we're going to be just like the Gentiles. So what Paul is talking about here is built on what he's talked about previously, that we have to accept Christ as our Savior. We have to recognize that we're part of His body, and thus we need to understand our need for unity and godly love among one another. if we don't have that unity and we don't have that godly love, then we're unconverted. We're just like the non-believers. Our understanding will be darkened. We will be alienated from the life of God because of our unconverted heart. And thus we will be blind. What's the problems with Laodiceans? They profess to be the servants of God, but what is their condition? They are poor, wretched, miserable, blind, and naked. They're unconverted. So they profess to be the followers of Christ, but they're just like the Gentiles in heart. And that's why they're going to be condemned and destroyed right along with the unbelievers. If they don't accept Christ as their Savior and allow Him to live within them. So then it doesn't matter what your profession is. What matters is what is the condition of your heart. Are you converted to God? Have you crucified self? Have you put away the things of your old life and have been born anew into the life of Christ? If that hasn't taken place, or if it has taken place, but then you've reverted back to your old ways, then you're not in a condition to be saved, irregardless of your high profession. The name of the tree cannot save it from being cut down and thrown into the fire if it doesn't bear the proper type of fruit. And the only way to bear that proper type of fruit is to have Christ dwelling within your heart. So all those who are unconverted are alienated from the life of God because of the blindness of their heart. Continuing. Who, being past feeling, have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. Now, the Bible talks about those that become greedy of filthy lucre. And they go about as roaring dogs looking for their next victim. And when you look at the scripture passages dealing with that group of people, you'll find out it's talking about ministers. So it's not just individuals that can be greedy and involved in unclean things. But it also can be ministers. They're just putting on a show of being a minister to the people, of being a spokesman for God's word, so that they can receive as much money as possible from the people. So their object is greed, not spreading the truth of God in seeking to save souls. Continuing. But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. So we may have heard of Christ, But that doesn't mean that we've learned to be like Christ. And it doesn't mean that we have been taught by him. And thus it doesn't mean that the truth is in us. It's one thing to hear the truth. It's another thing to adopt the truth, to follow it. So anyone that is puffed up in their mind, anyone that is acting like the world, anyone that is blind in their heart has not learned of Christ. So then our profession is nothing. It's our actions that show whether we have learned of Christ or not. Whether we've been taught of Christ or not, and whether the truth of Christ is in us or not. And it is by our fruits that we will be judged. So, dear ones, how is it with you? Where do you stand? Is Christ in your hearts? Does your actions reveal that? Does it back up your profession? I pray so. Are there any thoughts or comments, dear ones? Please feel free. Okay, continuing verse 22. That ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. So here's the difference between a Gentile and a follower of Jesus. The follower of Jesus has put off their former conversation. They now don't dwell upon who made the most baskets in the basketball arena, or who's on top in baseball or football. Sports is no longer their interest. They've put off that old man conversation. And they've put on the new man. If we're still in our past conversation, if we're still living like the world, then we're corrupt. We're not pure. Our mind has not been renewed. It is still old. So then, are you an unbeliever or are you a true follower of Christ? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So what is your conversation today? Is it of the ways of the world? Or is it of the gospel of Jesus Christ? Is it the spirit of the world or is it the spirit of the kingdom of Christ? In order to have the conversation of heaven, you must have your mind or your heart renewed. It must be born again. Without the new birth, on a continual basis, there's no way you're going to enter into the kingdom of heaven. The only people that enter into heaven are those that look like Jesus, talk like Jesus, act like Jesus. And that is a process, dear ones, to be transformed into his image, to grow in grace, to grow up first as an infant, then as a child, then as a youth, and finally as an adult. It's a process. But this process doesn't happen once. It happens every day. You can't bear the cross of Christ one time and expect to enter into heaven. It has to be borne daily. And it has to be picked up. That means there's effort put forth, conscious effort put forth in picking up that cross and bearing it. It just doesn't happen. You have to pick it up. You have to put it on your shoulders. The cross is also likened to a yoke. You have to be willing to have that yoke around your neck each day. For those that are familiar with the plowing process of the olden times, the oxen had the yoke put on them when they were going to work, when they were accomplishing a purpose. But they didn't have that yoke always on them, because when they were put into the stall to go to sleep, they obviously were not still tied to the other ox that was there. That yoke was taken off. So then, dear ones, are you going to choose to be yoked together with Christ anew each morning? When you wake up, are you going to make a conscious decision to follow Christ for that day and plead with him to yoke together with you? If you do, then you will be growing more and more into the image of your Savior. But if you don't even think about it, if you just go on with your daily routine as soon as you wake up without putting Christ first, then you're not going to grow up into Christ. You're going to halt your advancing progress. And anyone who stands still will eventually begin to go backwards or sit down and give up the warfare. So we must make the conscious decision of bearing our cross, of being yoked together with Christ each day, so that we will not show ourselves in our words or actions to be of the unconverted, but that we will show that we've put off our former conversation, that we're no longer living in the old man or old woman experience, but we have truly been born again because our minds have been renewed and we are obtaining the mind of Christ. Verse 24, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. So then the new man or the new woman is created in righteousness and true holiness. their actions, their conversation is after the likeness of Christ, righteous and holy. So then if your words and actions are not righteous and holy, then the old man or the old woman has not yet been fully crucified. It has been allowed to exist in however much of your life that it's in. It's still there. How do you get rid of it? Recognizing that it's there is the first step. Pleading forgiveness for allowing it to continue to live in your life is the next step. Believing that God has forgiven you and cleansed you from it, and then determining to go forward in God's grace and strength and not allow it to raise its head in your life in those areas that you recognize it in is the next step. If you don't recognize that it's there, then there's no way you're going to be willing to repent of it and ask God to cleanse you from it. So you must recognize that the old life's habits, experiences, are still living within you. And sometimes we're blind to it. Sometimes we don't recognize it. And that's where our loved ones, our family members, and our fellow brothers and sisters can aid us in pointing out to us that the old man or old woman experience is still living within us. But our old life doesn't like to be pointed out. It becomes offended that someone has dared to point a finger at it and call it what it is. So then we're confronted with allowing the old life's experience to defend itself in us, or recognize that it's alive and put it down through the grace and strength of Christ. So, dear ones, we have a choice, and this choice starts at the very beginning of each day. If we put Christ first and foremost, then we're going to pick up that cross and bear it. We're going to choose to be yoked together with our Savior. And we'll be growing in grace more that day than the next day. Than the previous day. But if we allow other thoughts to come in and not have Christ first and foremost, then we're not going to be growing in grace. We're not going to be bearing our cross. And our old man or old woman experience is going to be revived. It's going to show its ugly head in some way and some manner throughout that day. So seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and then God will take care of everything else that will occur during that day. Bear your cross daily. Now, there's a question in the room that says, would you say that if someone loves sports a lot and gradually break away, does this mean that they are corrupt until they have overcome that? I wouldn't say that it means they're corrupt until they completely have given it up. Because sometimes overcoming sin is a process of overcoming it and then going back to it and overcoming it and going back to it. When you've asked God to forgive you for your sins, He does. So then at that point, you're no longer corrupt. But if you then from that justified, pure position go back to committing the sin, then you lose your forgiven status, and now you have become a sinner again and thus corrupt. So the key is to retain your justified or righteous forgiven position and not go back to your old man or old woman habits. And again, that is a process. And a lot of times individuals are in that stage of sinning and repenting, and that is likened to the foolish virgin experience where their lamp, the light on their lamp is beginning to flicker because they have oil, and then the oil runs out, and then they have a little bit more oil, and then the oil runs out. And so the light is not able to burn consistently bright, but it's flickering. And that's true. A comment in the room, it says, sin in a person can originate with a simple thought. And that's true if that thought is dwelt upon. So just having a thought that is sinful doesn't immediately make you a sinner in that issue. It's when you don't put that thought away by pleading for God to give you the grace and the strength to resist that thought or temptation. It's when you think about it and you ponder on that evil thought or sinful thought, that it then begins to work within you, and thus you become a sinner. You have broken God's law by thought, even though an action has not occurred. So that is true. And when we get to the point of allowing Christ to live within us and allowing His mind to be within us, then we're advancing very speedily up that level to the full stature of a man or woman or child in Christ. And again, that is a process. Are there any other questions or comments, dear ones? Please feel free. Well, let's go ahead and open it up to a season of prayer. Please feel free to bring your petitions before the Father, especially intercessory prayer for others. And I'll go ahead and close up. So please feel free, dear ones.
Shall we kneel and bow our heads? We thank You, Father, for Thy precious word and Thy Holy Spirit to help us understand it better. I thank You personally for the rain that we have had here. You know our needs and why we need the rain. There are many other places in the world, I'm sure, that need the rain as much as we do. But we're so thankful that You have heard our prayers. We also want to thank You for Thy healing hand on the brother in Africa, that he is able to be discharged they still need a little help on the medical bills. And then we have a brother back east that has tremendous bills because he did what he felt you would want him to do in providing a Christian home for a little girl. Comfort him and send him help. Be with each one of us as we contemplate the study tonight, that we will be able to share it with others, but especially that we might bring it into our own hearts, that we can fully surrender and be making the progress that you want us to. Be with all those that are listening and those of our group who were not able to join us this evening, that they might still have faith and trust in thee. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Our dear precious Heavenly Father, we thank you so very much for not rewarding us according to our evil deeds, but continuing to hold out to us a better way of life. And I pray, dear Father, that we may advantage ourselves by accepting this free gift each day, choosing to have self crucified and Jesus to live in us instead. And Father, please help us to develop habits of always choosing to serve our Savior and not self, so that it may indeed become part of our character and become firmly established, and thus we're that much closer to receiving your seal because we represent your Son in character. Father, we thank you so very much for hearing all the prayers and petitions that have been offered by thy people all around the world and also here in this home church. Thank you for answering each one according to thy perfect will. Thank you so much for revealing to each one of us that you indeed live and are in control of all things. And we thank you and praise your name, dear Father, for being our God, our protector, our King, ruling and overruling in all our affairs and the affairs of those affecting us in any way. And especially that we are one day closer to getting off of this wicked world. So, dear Father, please be with us. Continue to speed and spread thy truth around the world. Continue to bless and multiply our efforts at spreading thy word, so that precious souls may indeed be garnered out of Babylon and brought into your kingdom of righteousness. Thank you, Father, for awakening us to truth, for bringing us out of darkness into your marvelous light, and for allowing us to be connected with your Son, our Savior, and for being co-workers with us, so that together we might indeed fill this earth with your glory. Please be with us now as we part and bring us back together again for a rich and abundant blessing in fellowshipping together and in digging into your word of truth. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. And amen. Amen. Well, dear ones, are there any other questions or thoughts, any other comments, songs that you would like to sing or requests? Please feel free to do so before we close tonight's service. I'd like to sing the hymn, Not I But Christ. And for those that know it, please join with me. Not I, but Christ, be honored, loved, exalted. Not I, but Christ, be seen, be known, be heard. Not I, but Christ, in every look and action. Not I, but Christ, in every thought and word. Not I, but Christ, to gently soothe in sorrow. Not I, but Christ, to wipe the falling tear. Not I, but Christ, to lift the weary burden. Not I, but Christ, to hush away all fear. Christ, only Christ, no idle words e'er falling. Christ, only Christ, no needless bustling sound. Christ, only Christ, no self-important bearing. Christ, only Christ, no trace of I be found. Not I, but Christ, my every need supplying. Not I, but Christ, my strength and health to be. Not I, but Christ, for body, soul, and spirit. Christ, only Christ, here and eternally. And dear ones, this is my prayer for each one of you, that when you wake up in the morning, your thoughts will be, not I, but Christ. Lord, take control of my heart. And he definitely will. So, dear ones, may God bless. Keep looking up. Especially keep your eyes fixed on the Savior. And you will indeed be growing more and more into his image.